I'm here with Alexander Mercurs, editor-in-chief of the Durand Alexander. The BBC had Virginia Guffrey on the show Panorama, and she dropped a lot of bombshells related to Epstein and what was going on at the Epstein, at the mansions, at the island, at the 10,000-acre New Mexico estate that we now have learned Hillary and Bill Clinton, as well as Chelsea Clinton, spent many, many holidays and vacation days at that estate. God knows doing what and involved in what. It seems that wherever there's bad stuff going down, Alexander, Hillary Clinton is there. It's just, I don't know how you explain it. But anyway, Alexander, you were you're in London. You saw the Panorama show. I'm sure all of the UK is buzzing about it. Give us your take.
Pretty much. Now, can I just explain to people who are not British that Panorama is the BBC's oldest current affairs television news program. It's been continuously broadcast since the 1950s. So it's almost, if you like, their oldest, most prestigious program. I mean, I think Newsnight today is perhaps a bit more analytical, but Panorama is broadcast earlier in the evening. It's more likely to be seen by people. And those of you who are able to can probably find this program on the BBC's various platforms. They're still showing it. So you can find it all. Now, I watched it. You're absolutely right. It is making very big news here. I mean, we have the general election going on. We've had the NATO summit going on. There's other news, but this story now is fully up with all those other stories. It's something that is now attracting a great deal of attention. And a few things to say. Firstly, obviously, Virginia Guffrey completely contradicted what Prince Andrew says about them not having had sex. I mean, she says they had sex three times. She provides some circumstantial detail about that. She came across as intelligent, much more intelligent, dare I say, than Prince Andrew did. But anyway, she comes across as intelligent and fluent. Obviously, she's told her story by now many times to many people. So it's perhaps not surprising that she's quite fluent. But for what it's worth, I think most people watching that program would have given her a great deal of credence. Now, as I said, there was an awful lot about Epstein. There was an awful lot about how Epstein operated, how he was able to suck girls from, you know, young women, well, children, girls from local schools, local places, you know, broken homes into his web. And how cleverly it was done. I mean, the fact that he would have these, you know, residences close to schools and places where it was easy, in a way, to attract people into this world that he had. But I think what I think will have stood out for many people in Britain is that this program went for the first time in Britain into a lot of details about Ghislaine Maxwell, who was featured on this program extensively with all sorts of allegations made by Virginia Guffrey about Ghislaine Maxwell, about the role Ghislaine Maxwell played. Firstly, organizing Maxwell's sort of social life, organizing Epstein's social life, introducing Epstein to all sorts of people in high society, introducing those people in high society to Epstein. It seems Andrew came through Maxwell to Epstein, for example. And at the same time, she had some really, really terrible things to say about Maxwell. I mean, about Maxwell's role in acting, not just as a procurer, but being frankly, you know, she described her in, you know, as a very brutal and abusive individual. Now, I mean, we have to be very careful because none of this has been proved in any court of law. Everybody, I really want to stress this again, is entitled to the presumption of innocence. But these are extremely serious allegations, very serious allegations. And as I said, Virginia Guffrey came across as intelligent and fluent and convincing.
All right, Alexander, let me read you from Zira Hedge on the Clintons' escapades at what is called the New Mexico Baby-Making Ranch, also known as the Cowboy Ranch because it has a cowboy theme. And, let's just get into it. Let me read you some parts of this, Alexander. The Clintons regularly stayed at Jeffrey Epstein's weird New Mexico ranch where the deceased pedophile had grand plans to seed the human race with his DNA, according to his estate manager. Bill and Hillary and even Chelsea visited the 10,000-acre estate almost every year after they left the White House. According to the Daily Mail, the former first family didn't stay at the property's main compound, however. They spent their time in a custom cowboy-themed village Epstein built a mile south of his mountaintop villa. And this is coming from the Daily Mail, Alexander. The Clinton family bunked down in a special cowboy-themed village created by Epstein, which is a mile south of his own luxury mountaintop villa. They'd use one of the two guest houses, which look like they're straight out of the 19th century. Seen in exclusive Daily Mail TV images, the guest homes are next to other traditional Wild West-style buildings, such as an old schoolhouse and saloon bar. An American flag is raised high above the village, which is next door to Epstein's private airstrip, where he arrived on his private planes, including the infamous Lolita Express. This is all according to security expert Jared Kellogg, who was brought in by longstanding ranch manager Brian Gordon to improve security and set up a camera system at the main house and cowboy village. Now, the Clintons maintained that they had minimal contact with Epstein, despite records proving he flew on the disgraced financier's Lolita Express Boeing 727-200 no fewer than 27 times, which Epstein sold 1 week before his July arrest on suspicion of sex trafficking minors. Alexander, the Daily Mail broke this story, and they got it from Kellogg and the ranch manager Bryce Gordon, who kept bragging about the Clintons staying at the ranch. From what I understand reading the article, there were, you know, eight people party showers is what they would call them. This indoor plush indoor pool where they would have other stuff that we just can't say on YouTube, other disgusting activities that Epstein would have in this indoor pool. The Daily Mail has the photos of all these things. It's really interesting that the Daily Mail broke this story. It's interesting that BBC is running the Panorama interview. The only person in the U.S. mainstream that's really taking this head on is, once again, Tucker Carlson, who's reporting on this almost every other night. It's interesting that all this stuff is coming out of the U.K. I think the Andrew interview was really an impetus to all of this.
It burst the dam. I mean, the extraordinary thing was, if you went back a few months ago when, you know, the Epstein thing broke in a big way in the US, at that time, the British media wasn't covering it because of deference to the royal family. Now, what Andrew has done by giving that disastrous interview to Newsnight is that, of course, he's brought it, you know, to the centre of British life. And of course, the media in Britain are now investigating and pursuing this story very, very actively. And obviously, the Daily Mail is a conservative, right-wing, royalist newspaper. It's one that has historically always supported the royal family very, very fervidly. And now they're publishing this kind of information. That is a very, very revealing fact and very disturbing, I would have thought, to the palace, which has clearly now completely lost control of this story. But let's analyze some of the things we've learned from this, because, first of all, I think that this attempt by Bill and Hillary Clinton to distance themselves from Epstein and to pretend that they didn't really have many contacts with him, I think that's looking increasingly threadbare. I mean, we've got these records that they were 27 times, or that Bill Clinton was 27 times on this Lolita Express aeroplane of Epstein's. And now we learn that they were at this ranch. And I have to say, one of the things that was very disturbing about the Panorama program was, again, Virginia Giuffre's accounts about some of the things that happened in Epstein's various residences, and the way they all started, and the way people were drawn into activities which initially seemed to be innocuous, but of course very quickly turned out to be no such thing. So I don't know. I find it impossible to believe that people like the Clintons could really have been unaware of what was going on. Why were they going to these places? It's not as if they lack friends. The Clintons lack friends. It's not as if they haven't got plenty of money themselves. Why go to these very weird ranches of people, weird ranch of a person like Epstein? Now, I haven't actually seen pictures of this ranch, but I have seen pictures of his island, which I understand the Clintons also visited. And I've seen some of the decorations, if you can call it that, that are there. I've seen these very strange statues that Epstein had all over the island. I mean, they look both very sinister and very weird. I wouldn't want to be in a place like this. I've been invited to places. I've never seen anything like that before. And I would feel very uncomfortable about finding myself in that kind of place. And, Virginia Giuffre made the point about the island. And I'm sure, by the way, this also applies to the ranch, that one of the great problems when you were in her position, you know, not just her, but, you know, other girls like her, is that there's nowhere to escape to in these sort of places. You can't really find a way out. Probably less true of the ranch, but I suspect pretty true also of the ranch. So I find these are very sinister places. And I do believe that you get a sense of the kind of place you are in. I mean, I have seen places that are sinister and I've avoided and I know about. And, you know, even archaeological sites, even, you know, places, people talk about Auschwitz and whatever, that it has, a creepy and disturbing feeling, you know, I believe that. I think that is true. How do you go to it and stay at a place like this, have people like presumably Virginia Giuffre around you, and not know what is going on and assume that all is well? I mean, that just doesn't make any kind of sense to me. That is true as much of Prince Andrew, by the way, as it is of Bill Clinton and Bill Clinton's family.
Well, we've got Prince Andrew caught in what I think it's safe to say, at least my opinion, that he's caught in a lot of lies. We definitely know that Bill Clinton has lied. You know how many times he's been on the Lolita Express.
Yeah.
And Hillary Clinton, they say they don't have any contact with Epstein. We know that they had a lot of contact with Epstein. The whole family went there on holiday. Alexander,
well,
is the UK.
Yes, there were his guests. I mean, you know,
yeah,
I get that you
multiple times.
Multiple times. Yes.
Is the UK media, are they going to pursue this the way it should be pursued? Because my feeling is that the US media, outside of Tucker Carlson, is doing their best to avoid the story. We actually know this from the ABC. I think Amy Robach was her name. I forgot her name now.
Yes, Amy Robach.
And we already know that they tried to suppress, that they did suppress, you know, her story.
Yes.
We know this is fact.
Yes.
We know they suppressed the Weinstein story, NBC as well, for many, many years. So we know the US journalists and the media, the mainstream media, have orders not to go there. Don't follow this story.
Yeah.
Is the UK media, are they going to take this to where it needs to be taken, do you think? Are they generally more aggressive?
Yeah,
they
I think
that their teeth into something.
I think they are more aggressive, to answer your question. I think that the British media, there is a sort of anti-establishmentarianism among some of the sort of tabloids. It doesn't, you know, there's all popular press media in here. One shouldn't take this too far. Most of them are, you know, ultimately very deferential, for example, to the royal family. But I think when this kind of story gets going, it tends to gain a life of its own. And the thing to say about this is that two of the major players in this story are British. One, obviously, is Prince Andrew, but the other is Ghislaine Maxwell, who, as I said, everybody in Britain of a certain age remembers Robert Maxwell. He's a legendary figure here, her father. And so the fact that the daughter of Robert Maxwell is involved in something like this is going to make a lot of people, an awful lot of people, very interested. And there are more and more questions now being asked about her and about what she was doing. I will just say basically what Virginia Guffrey said was that, you know, the difference the contrast she made between Andrew and Maxwell is that Andrew, as far as she was concerned, was sick. I mean, he needed to be caught, he needed to be punished, but he needed to be treated because he's got all kinds of obvious pathologies. But Maxwell, she basically described as evil. Now, I'm not, as I said, making any, I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying Maxwell is guilty of anything. But when things like that are said on a program like Panorama about two people who are so well known, it's very difficult to put the story back and to, you know, put the genie back in the bottle. It's at least in Britain. So I think this thing will now continue to pick up steam.
My final question, Alexander, you have two interviews. You have the Andrew interview.
No.
You have the Guffrey interview.
No.
In your opinion, in just your opinion, which one did you find more credible and more believable?
I'm sure I'm speaking for 99.9% of the people who watch them. Guffrey was much more convincing. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that she's telling all the truth. I mean, one of the interesting things was she admitted that she, you know, got things wrong and been inconsistent about some things, not about the essential things, but about details. Now, Andrew never did that, really. And ultimately, I find a lot more convincing and far more plausible. I mean, she came across as intelligent and straightforward. That was my impression. And that was the impression of most people.
Do you think the royals are going to take any more measures after the Guffrey interview? After what's going on?
Well, I wonder, actually. I would have thought the palace is currently phoning all its contacts in the media, trying to keep the story quiet, trying to find out who else is going to be running this story, trying to spike any more stories to the extent that it can, issuing denials. I mean, they issued a denial shortly after the Panorama program, in which they repeated again Andrew's denials that he ever had sex with Virginia Guffrey. But, I don't think they can control the story anymore. I think it slipped out of that control. And I think that's, as I said, I think that the public interest in it now is so great that it will probably continue to grow. And eventually, possibly, feed back into the U.S.
Oh, absolutely, feed back into the U.S. The Daily Mail, you know, this story that they broke from the ranch is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, exactly. There you go.
It should have been American media that's breaking these stories. It's in New Mexico.
Yes, yes. Well, exactly right. So, I mean, but, you know, the British media will pursue this story because, as I said, there is a British angle now, and at the highest level, I mean, they're all fascinated by it.
Alexander McCurse, editor-in-chief of The Durand, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on that notifications bell to make sure you get notifications every time we push out a new video. And find us on iTunes and on SoundCloud to get an audio copy of this video. Also, check us out on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Please donate to us. Your donation helps keep this channel up and running, especially when we do videos like this one, which will be demonetized and may even be scrubbed from,
Even though, everything we've said on it derives from mainstream media.
I mean, absolutely.
You don't get more mainstream in Britain than Panorama, which is the BBC, and the Daily Mail.
Absolutely. We're just, you know, relaying the facts as given to us from the BBC and the Daily Mail.
But it's still, you know, what Alex said could still happen despite that.
Absolutely. So BitChute, Durant Video, our own video platform in beta mode, BitChute, I'm sure everyone knows it. Check us out there. Telegram, the free speech app. Check us out on Telegram. We post everything we do on Telegram. We also post our big discounts that we have running from the Durant shop. And the big one is the holiday discount, DRN20. Put that in the checkout page in the coupon code, DRN20, and you get 20% off all our merchandise. Alexander.
Indeed, so again, this is, of course, the best time to buy our marvelous merchandise, our magnificent Durant mugs. The one I'm drinking from today has Sergei Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, on it because, you know, I'm one of his great fans. So I think he's the best foreign minister we've had anywhere in the world, well, for ages and ages. I mean, a really great man, in my opinion. And I think he will be remembered in that way. But putting aside the fact that, as I said, it's got Lavrov on it, this is a fantastic mug. It's beautifully made. It's marvelous porcelain mug. It's light. It's strong. It's comfortable to hold. It doesn't sort of weigh you down. It doesn't crack. It doesn't chip. You've seen all the various mugs I've been drinking from. They're all, by the way, in all the time I've had them, in perfect condition. None of them has, you know, spoiled or gone wrong in any shape or form. You can't say that about many mugs, if I may say so. And it keeps your tea warm if you drink tea as often as I do, which is pretty much constantly. It keeps your coffee warm. It keeps your beer cold if you prefer beer, or your water if you like. I sometimes drink water from my mugs too. And so they are beautiful 15-ounce porcelain mugs. But we've also got other things which complement the mugs. We've got marvelous shirts like the polo shirts I'm wearing now. 100% cotton, incredibly comfortable, very stylish, as I have been told by people I didn't know and who knew nothing about the Durant when I wore them to all sorts of events. You know, they are really great and wonderful shirts. You can see that it's got the Durant double-headed eagle embroidered there. But we don't just have polo shirts in many colors, by the way, not just this great color, but all sorts of colors, green, black, blue, all sorts of great colors. But we've also got long sleeve t-shirts, which keep you cold in the cold November and December nights that we have in London at the moment. We've also got short sleeve t-shirts. We've got V-neck shirts. All our shirts are beautifully made, 100% cotton, extremely stylish, extremely comfortable. We've also got hoodies, we've got hats, we've got stickers. DRN20, as Alex said, that's the discount code. This is, as I said, the season of good cheer. This is Christmas coming. This is the time to buy gifts and presents for your friends and your family, and of course, for yourself. You can help the Durant by coming to our shop and buying these great things. You can help yourself by owning these great things, and you can help your friends and family by giving them these great things. So what's holding you back? Come to our shop. Alex will tell you how to do it.
TheDurantShop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Alexander McCurse, Editor-in-Chief of The Durant. Thank you very much. Till next time, everybody. Take care.